Good afternoon. Thank you all for coming. As you know, the board decided today to cut the cash rate by 25 basis points to 4.1%. The cash rate has been at 4.35% since November 2023. At that time, in November 23, the upside risks to inflation had increased, so the board decided to raise the cash rate to 4.35% from 4.1% to address those upside risks. Since then, inflation has fallen, and recent data suggests it's eased a bit more than expected. Growth in private demand has also been quite weak, and wage pressures have eased. The board therefore judged that it was appropriate to remove the cautionary raise undertaken in 2023. I've said many times that we need to see inflation moving sustainably towards our 2 to 3% target band before we ease rates. In December, we said we'd gain confidence that things were headed in the right direction. Now we're at a point where underlying inflation is at 3.2% and headline inflation is 2.4%. Inflation has eased over the past three quarters, and in the most recent quarter, a bit more than our forecasts had anticipated. This has increased our confidence further. It's clear that higher interest rates have been working as anticipated, restricting economic activity and putting downward pressure on inflation. The board judges it's time to reduce a little bit of that restrictiveness, but we cannot declare victory on inflation just yet. It is not good enough for inflation to be back in the target range temporarily. The board needs to be confident that it is returning to the target range sustainably. One of the big questions we're grappling with now that inflation is easing is how the labour market is reacting. The board's strategy has been to bring inflation down while preserving the gains in the labour market. The judgment was that we could achieve this with a gradual easing in the labour market. But the strength of the jobs market has been surprising. Many indicators suggest that the labour market is tight, and on some measures tightening further. While this is good news for job seekers, the board remains alert to the possibility that it is signalling a bit more strength in the economy, which could delay or stall the disinflation process. There's also a lot of uncertainty around the global outlook at the moment. One of the things we're cautious about is the possibility that policy unpredictability could lead to slower growth. But at the moment, it's too soon to tell. For these reasons, I want to be very clear that today's decision does not imply that further rate cuts along the lines suggested by the market are coming. As I noted, we've removed the cautionary increase that we did in November 23 to a level that we still see as restrictive. But the board needs more data and evidence that inflation is continuing to decline before making decisions about the future path of interest rates. The board is very alert to upside risks that could derail the deflationary process. I know that some other central banks have cut interest rates quite sharply over the past year, but we have taken a different strategy to most. Our policy rate was not raised as much as many countries overseas. We judged that while inflation expectations remained anchored, we could take a bit longer to bring inflation back to the target band, but we could keep unemployment lower. We can be happy with the progress we've made, but we have to be careful not to get ahead of ourselves. The truth is that some inflation pressures remain, and cost of living pressures are still front of mind for many Australians. The board is conscious that households with mortgages have had to adjust following interest rate increases since the pandemic. And the impact of high inflation over the past couple of years has permanently increased the price of goods and services. That's hurt everyone, but particularly those on lower incomes and the more vulnerable. The board will continue to look to the data to see if the economy and inflation continue to evolve as expected. Happy to take your questions.
Governor Deb Knight from Nine Radio and A Current Affair. There are some very relieved Australians today with the rate cut and the banks behaving out of character, falling over themselves to pass on this rate cut in full. How line ball was the decision, though? The markets were certain it was a done deal, but how difficult was this decision today?
It wasn't a lay down, Ms. Eyre, Deborah. It was a difficult decision in the sense that there were arguments on both sides. And what I would say is that the board had a very active debate of the arguments on both sides on this, but in the end came to the view that the better decision was to ease a little bit of the restrictiveness, still maintain some restrictiveness, but ease a little bit of restrictiveness in recognition that we are making progress towards our goal. I understand that many households will be relieved with this, but the important point that I've made before is that it's really important we beat inflation, because that hurts absolutely everyone.
Hello, Governor. David Chow from ABC News. So what are the chances the Reserve Bank is one and done when it comes to interest rate cuts? And today's cut could be the only one that we see.
Thanks, David. I couldn't say. What I would say is that the market is expecting quite a few more interest rate cuts to the middle of next year, about three more on top of this. Whether or not that eventuates is going to depend very much on the data. Our feeling at the moment is that that is far too confident that that's as many rate cuts as we'll be having. So I can't say one and done. What I can say is that we've done one, we've removed a bit of restrictiveness, we are still restrictive, and we are waiting for more evidence that we're getting inflation sustainably back in the band before we are willing to move again.
Governor Bullock, Jack Quayle from The Australian here. The RBA seems to be an outlier when it comes to estimating full employment. Granted your forecasts, can the economy sustain unemployment at 4.25% to hold inflation within the RBA's 2-3% target band?
It's a good question, Jack, and there's a lot of debate out there in the market about what level of unemployment or employment is consistent with low and stable inflation. I have to say at the moment we're a little surprised, because we have seen inflation continuing to come down at the same time as we judge the labour market is still a bit tight. But there are things that are happening. We see housing costs are starting to decline, which is good, and that's a big part of people's expenses. We also hear from Liaison and other areas' surveys that business margins are being squeezed a bit, which suggests that demand is not strong enough for them to pass on these things. So these are sort of, we don't know the full answers yet. And as I said, I've said in the past, I think, what that level of employment is actually really uncertain. So we're not pinning our numbers on it. I'm certainly not pinning any number on what that unemployment rate is. But we are continuing to test how low we can keep unemployment without adding to inflationary pressures. And so far, in good news, we're achieving it, but there are risks. We've got to be careful.
Michael Reid from the Australian Financial Review. Governor Bullock, could you give us some extra detail about what conditions would need to be in place for the board to be ready to deliver a second rate cut?
The sorts of things that the board is worried about at the moment in terms of the upside risks would need to abate a bit. So we'd need to continue to see easing wage costs, growth in wages, we'd need to continue to see that. We'd need to continue to see the disinflation in market services in particular. We'd want to see that the reduction in housing inflation we've seen is sustainable and it's continuing to come down, because that's been a very big component of the rise in inflation over the last couple of years. And I think also what we'd need to see is a general easing. We don't know what the demand-supply gap is here. We're very uncertain about it. And I think we've set out in the statement on monetary policy that in the past we've thought demand was a bit above supply, but we're a bit uncertain now whether that's still the case. So it'd be really good to see some recovery in supply, on the supply side of the economy. And obviously productivity is an important part of that as well. So they're not an exclusive list of things that the board would need to see, but all of these things, if you started to see these things, these would be good for inflation, and that's what we're looking for.
Governor, Effie Zahos, Nine News. You just mentioned that the cost of living pressures are still there, and you mentioned that some prices are permanently higher. Do you acknowledge that this rate cut barely touches the sides for households?
It's a very small rate cut, that's true. It reverses the one we did in November. But I think we are removing a little bit of restrictiveness. It has an impact at the margin for people who have mortgages. And again, the fact that inflation is coming down is actually really good for everyone. So that's really positive for renters as well and people on low incomes. So, yes, it's at the margin. It's a small decrease. The banks have passed it on. Every little bit helps.
Governor Swati from Bloomberg News. The RBA was doing a live experiment in monetary policy by not taking interest rates very high. Do you think you have been successful given what we have seen in New Zealand and in some other economies as well? Do you think the RBA's experiment has been successful?
Might be a bit early to say, Swati, I think. We are getting more confident that we're being successful. We're not the only country. The other country that has a dual mandate, of course, is the United States. Inflation and unemployment. And when you listen to them, you'd know that they often talk about unemployment as well. So we're not the only country that's been thinking about the impact on employment of our monetary policy. I think it's too early to say whether we've been successful, but as I said, I think the signs so far are positive. We have got inflation coming down. We've got in our forecast, you will see from the Statement on Monetary Policy, we have the trimmed mean being back in the band in the first half of next year. And that's on the basis of the current market path of interest rate cuts. So it's got that little qualification in it. But have we not been tight enough and inflation will take off again? I think that remains to be seen, and it is a risk that the board is alert to.
G'day, Governor. Shane Wright from Nine Newspapers. The Statement of Monetary Policy talks about growth improving and strengthening, but for the next 2 years, effectively, it's around 2.2 to 2.3. Trend for Australia is supposedly around 2.75. Do you think trend growth has actually stepped down, and why?
Well, part of the issue is productivity, I think. Remember that productivity, we've got some assessment in there for productivity, or assumptions for productivity, I probably should say. But we all know that productivity hasn't been as strong as we would have hoped. And that's the way we grow the economy. That's the way that we can have trend growth higher, because if demand increases and supply doesn't, then that's when you get inflationary pressures. So I think there is some question about how do we grow the supply capacity of the economy, which increases the trend growth of the economy. And that does come down to the sorts of things that we should be doing about productivity.
Sophia Rodriguez from Central Bank Intel. You said the rate hike in November helped. You've reversed the rate hike from November 23. Given there were upside risks even after that, if you had to raise the cash rate once more, do you think we would have been in a more comfortable position and probably two more rate cuts you could have been confident of at this stage?
Well, no, because if the board thought it needed to rise rates further, it would have. So the board thought that in November 23, it raised the rate to offset some upside risks. And if it had thought it needed to go further, it would have. But it didn't. It felt that the best way to achieve its strategy of bringing inflation down and keeping employment as strong as we could was to keep rates where they were for an extended period, which we did. We kept them there from November 23 until now. So I think now is the right time to unwind that increase. We're still restrictive. We still think we're in restrictive territory, and that will continue to keep a bit of pressure on inflation.
Thanks, Governor. Hi, John Keogh from the Australian Financial Review. The forecasts have inflation sort of flatlining at 2.7% through to 2027. I think the official target is 2.5. Mm. That's what the RBA review recommended. Mm. Is that still your goal, or is less than 3% good enough given that your cutting rates are not actually expecting to hit the 2.5% target?
So, John, as you would know, that 2.7% is actually predicated on a market path which sees three more cuts. So what that tells you is that if we really want to hit 2.5, which we do, and I'll come back to that, then that market path, on the basis of the information we have at the moment, is unrealistic. Have we abandoned 2.5? No, we haven't, because our target is 2 to 3%. And the best way to make sure we stay there is to target the middle of the band. If we target the top of the band or the bottom of the band, then the likelihood we flop outside the band increases. So it's really, I think it is important that we target the middle of the band. We're not always going to hit bang on the number, but it gives us the best chance of staying within the band that we can.
Governor Edward Boyd at Sky News. Just to follow up to Swati's question, the narrow path has been a bit of an experiment. If it does turn out to be a success, do you think it could become a blueprint or a new strategy for other central bankers around the world to follow in the future?
Every central bank has a focus on inflation, but they all have slightly different mandates. We have a dual mandate. We have employment, as does the Fed. Other countries don't necessarily have that. So it depends. It's not necessarily a strategy for all central banks. Central banks will decide based on their own legislative mandates how the best way to achieve their mandate is. And it's not the same for everyone.
Cécile Lefort from the Financial Review. Governor.
Cécile.
A policy, you say, is restrictive. But some economic indicators like housing lending suggest policy is not restrictive. So how tight do you think policy is, and what level do you estimate the policy not restrictive?
So I wouldn't like to hazard a guess as to what specific interest rate we would think is, you might be referring to the neutral rate. It's a very uncertain concept. Housing credit is probably a bit more restricted than you think it is because it's in nominal terms. And if you look at housing credit, I'm pretty sure we had something on this in the statement. Housing credit as a share of nominal household disposable income isn't actually growing very much at all. So remember that it's a nominal concept and it's relative to household disposable income, which is more important. But having said that, there are some things that on the business side, if you look at our dashboard of all the things we look at in terms of financial conditions, on businesses they seem to be a little bit better. Risk premium's quite low, the equity market's high. On the household side though, we know, and this goes back to an earlier question, that households are paying record historical amounts on their mortgages in terms of payments, required repayments, as a share of their income. So it is still binding and very tight on the household sector. And this has been one factor, not the only factor, but it's been one factor that's been important in the response of consumption. We haven't had growth in real incomes, real household disposable incomes, and that's been a product of a number of factors, including interest rates. So we know it's restrictive on the household side, less restrictive on the business side. We still would think that overall conditions are restrictive.
G'day, Governor. Jacob Stamen from the Australian Associated Press. What conditions would trigger the board to raise interest rates again?
Well, if inflation reversed course and we started to see the signs that we were seeing easing inflation start to move in the other direction. I mean, that is ultimately what we are aiming at. Now, what we've observed from overseas, and we've observed it a bit here as well, is it can be bumpy. It is not a smooth ride. And so we're going to be getting some more information on inflation in the next few months. It'll include some monthly indicators, which can be very volatile. It will include some quarterly numbers. What we'll be looking for is continued disinflation in those. If that starts to reverse course in a trend sense and we start to see some of the easing in prices we've observed start going back up again, then that is going to be something the board would seriously need to consider.
He stole my question. I was going to ask that because Warren Hogan has been one of the people that's been very critical, saying you'll lose credibility if you do cut today. Mm. So with that in mind and just on the back, what other factors, particularly from offshore with these tariff threats as well, could force your hand to re-raise rates?
So the tariff threats and what's going on overseas, it's very uncertain and probably even worse, it's unpredictable. So we don't know exactly what's going to happen, so we can't sort of make specific plans. What we probably can say is that in a particularly... Well, good afternoon. Thank you all for coming. As you know, the board decided today to cut the cash rate by 25 basis points to 4.1%. The cash rate has been at 4.35% since November 2023. At that time, in November 23, the upside risks to inflation had increased, so the board decided to raise the cash rate to 4.35% from 4.1% to address those upside risks. Since then, inflation has fallen, and recent data suggests it's eased a bit more than expected. Growth in private demand has also been quite weak, and wage pressures have eased. The board therefore judged that it was appropriate to remove the cautionary raise undertaken in 2023. I've said many times that we need to see inflation moving sustainably towards our 2 to 3% target band before we ease rates. In December, we said we'd gain confidence that things were headed in the right direction. Now we're at a point where underlying inflation is at 3.2% and headline inflation is 2.4%. Inflation has eased over the past three quarters, and in the most recent quarter, a bit more than our forecasts had anticipated. This has increased our confidence further. It's clear that higher interest rates have been working as anticipated, restricting economic activity and putting downward pressure on inflation. The board judges it's time to reduce a little bit of that restrictiveness, but we cannot declare victory on inflation just yet. It is not good enough for inflation to be back in the target range temporarily. The board needs to be confident that it is returning to the target range sustainably. One of the big questions we're grappling with now that inflation is easing is how the labour market is reacting. The board's strategy has been to bring inflation down while preserving the gains in the labour market. The judgment was that we could achieve this with a gradual easing in the labour market. But the strength of the jobs market has been surprising. Many indicators suggest that the labour market is tight and on some measures tightening further. While this is good news for job seekers, the board remains alert to the possibility that it is signalling a bit more strength in the economy, which could delay or stall the disinflation process. There's also a lot of uncertainty around the global outlook at the moment. One of the things we're cautious about is the possibility that policy unpredictability could lead to slower growth. But at the moment, it's too soon to tell. For these reasons, I want to be very clear that today's decision does not imply that further rate cuts along the lines suggested by the market are coming. As I noted, we've removed the cautionary increase that we did in November 23 to a level that we still see as restrictive. But the board needs more data and evidence that inflation is continuing to decline before making decisions about the future path of interest rates. The board is very alert to upside risks that could derail the deflationary process. I know that some other central banks have cut interest rates quite sharply over the past year, but we have taken a different strategy to most. Our policy rate was not raised as much as many countries overseas. We judged that while inflation expectations remained anchored, we could take a bit longer to bring inflation back to the target band, but we could keep unemployment lower. We can be happy with the progress we've made, but we have to be careful not to get ahead of ourselves. The truth is that some inflation pressures remain, and cost of living pressures are still front of mind for many Australians. The board is conscious that households with mortgages have had to adjust following interest rate increases since the pandemic. And the impact of high inflation over the past couple of years has permanently increased the price of goods and services. That's hurt everyone, but particularly those on lower incomes and the more vulnerable. The board will continue to look to the data to see if the economy and inflation continue to evolve as expected. Happy to take your questions.
Governor Deb Knight from Nine Radio and A Current Affair. There are some very relieved Australians today with the rate cut and the banks behaving out of character, falling over themselves to pass on this rate cut in full. How line ball was the decision, though? The markets were certain it was a done deal, but how difficult was this decision today?
It wasn't a lay-down mazair, Deborah. It was a difficult decision in the sense that there were arguments on both sides. And what I would say is that the board had a very active debate of the arguments on both sides on this, but in the end came to the view that the better decision was to ease a little bit of the restrictiveness, still maintain some restrictiveness, but ease a little bit of restrictiveness in recognition that we are making progress towards our goal. I understand that many households will be relieved with this, but the important point that I've made before is that it's really important we beat inflation because that hurts absolutely everyone.
Hello, Governor. David Chow from ABC News. So what are the chances the Reserve Bank is one and done when it comes to interest rate cuts, and today's cut could be the only one that we see?
Thanks, David. I couldn't say. What I would say is that the market is expecting quite a few more interest rate cuts to the middle of next year, about three more on top of this. Whether or not that eventuates is going to depend very much on the data. Our feeling at the moment is that that is far too confident that that's as many rate cuts as we'll be having. So I can't say one and done. What I can say is that we've done one, we've removed a bit of restrictiveness, we are still restrictive, and we are waiting for more evidence that we're getting inflation sustainably back in the band before we are willing to move again.
Governor Bullock, Jack Quayle from The Australian here. The RBA seems to be an outlier when it comes to estimating full employment. Granted your forecasts, can the economy sustain unemployment at 4.25% to hold inflation within the RBA's 2-3% target band?
It's a good question, Jack, and there's a lot of debate out there in the market about what level of unemployment or employment is consistent with low and stable inflation. I have to say at the moment we're a little surprised because we have seen inflation continuing to come down at the same time as we judge the labour market is still a bit tight. But there are things that are happening. We see housing costs are starting to decline, which is good, and that's a big part of people's expenses. We also hear from Liaison and other areas surveys that business margins are being squeezed a bit, which suggests that demand is not strong enough for them to pass on these things. So these are sort of, we don't know the full answers yet. And as I said, I've said in the past, I think, what that level of employment is actually really uncertain. So we're not pinning our numbers on it. I'm certainly not pinning any number on what that unemployment rate is. But we are continuing to test how low we can keep unemployment without adding to inflationary pressures. And so far, in good news, we're achieving it, but there are risks. We've got to be careful.
Michael Reid from the Australian Financial Review. Governor Bullock, could you give us some extra detail about what conditions would need to be in place for the board to be ready to deliver a second rate cut?
Well, the sorts of things that the board is worried about at the moment in terms of the upside risks would need to abate a bit. So we'd need to continue to see easing wage costs, growth in wages, we'd need to continue to see that. We'd need to continue to see the disinflation in market services in particular. We'd want to see that the reduction in housing inflation we've seen is sustainable and it's continuing to come down, because that's been a very big component of the rise in inflation over the last couple of years. And I think also what we'd need to see is a general easing. We don't know what the demand-supply gap is here. We're very uncertain about it. And I think we've set out in the statement on monetary policy that in the past we've thought demand was a bit above supply, but we're a bit uncertain now whether that's still the case. So it'd be really good to see some recovery in supply, on the supply side of the economy. And obviously productivity is an important part of that as well. So they're not an exclusive list of things that the board would need to see, but all of these things, if you started to see these things, these would be good for inflation, and that's what we're looking for.
Governor Effie Zahos, Nine News. You just mentioned that the cost of living pressures are still there, and you mentioned that some prices are permanently higher. Do you acknowledge that this rate cut barely touches the sides for households?
It's a very small rate cut, that's true. It reverses the one we did in November. But I think we are removing a little bit of restrictiveness. It has an impact at the margin for people who have mortgages. And again, the fact that inflation is coming down is actually really good for everyone. So that's really positive for renters as well and people on low incomes. So, yes, it's at the margin. It's a small decrease. The banks have passed it on. Every little bit helps.
Governor Swati from Bloomberg News. The RBA was doing a live experiment in monetary policy by not taking interest rates very high. Do you think you have been successful given what we have seen in New Zealand and in some other economies as well? Do you think the RBA's experiment has been successful?
Might be a bit early to say, Swati, I think. We are getting more confident that we're being successful. We're not the only country. The other country that has a dual mandate, of course, is the United States. inflation and unemployment. And you'll, when you listen to them, you'd know that they often talk about unemployment as well. So we're not the only country that's been thinking about the impact on employment of our monetary policy. I think it's too early to say whether we've been successful, but as I said, I think the signs so far are positive. We have got inflation coming down. We've got, in our forecast, you will see from the Statement on Monetary Policy, we have the trimmed mean being back in the band in the first half of next year. And that's on the basis of the current market path of interest rate cuts, so it's got that little qualification in it. But have we not been tight enough and inflation will take off again? I think that remains to be seen, and it is a risk that the board is alert to.
G'day, Governor. Shane Wright from Nine Newspapers. The Statement of Monetary Policy talks about growth improving and strengthening, but for the next 2 years, effectively, it's around 2.2 to 2.3. Trend for Australia is supposedly around 2.75. Mm. Do you think trend growth has actually stepped down, and why?
Well, part of the issue is productivity, I think. Remember that productivity, we've got some assessment in there for productivity, or assumptions for productivity, I probably should say. But we all know that productivity hasn't been as strong as we would have hoped. And that's the way we grow the economy. That's the way that we can have trend growth higher, because if demand increases and supply doesn't, then that's when you get inflationary pressures. So I think there is some question about how do we grow the supply capacity of the economy, which increases the trend growth of the economy. And that does come down to the sorts of things that we should be doing about productivity.
Sophia Rodriguez from Central Bank Intel. You said the rate hike in November helped. You've reversed the rate hike in from November 23. Given there were upside risks even after that, if you had to raise the cash rate once more, do you think we would have been in a more comfortable position and probably two more rate cuts you could have been confident of at this stage?
Well, no, because if the board thought it needed to rise rates further, it would have. So the board thought that in November 23, it raised the rate to offset some upside risks. And if it had thought it needed to go further, it would have. But it didn't. It felt that the best way to achieve its strategy of bringing inflation down and keeping employment as strong as we could was to keep rates where they were for an extended period, which we did. We kept them there from November 23 until now. So I think now is the right time to unwind that increase. We're still restrictive. We still think we're in restrictive territory, and that will continue to keep a bit of pressure on inflation.
Thanks, Governor. Hi, John Keogh from the Australian Financial Review. The forecasts have inflation sort of flatlining at 2.7% through to 2027. I think the official target is 2.5. Mm. That's what the RBA review recommended. Mm. Is that still your goal, or is less than 3% good enough given that your cutting rates are not actually expecting to hit the 2.5% target?
So, John, as you would know, that 2.7% is actually predicated on a market path which sees three more cuts. So what that tells you is that if we really want to hit 2.5, which we do, and I'll come back to that, then that market path, on the basis of the information we have at the moment, is unrealistic. Have we abandoned 2.5? No, we haven't, because our target is 2 to 3%. And the best way to make sure we stay there is to target the middle of the band. If we target the top of the band or the bottom of the band, then the likelihood we flop outside the band increases. So it's really, I think it is important that we target the middle of the band. We're not always going to hit bang on the number, but it gives us the best chance of staying within the band that we can.
Governor Edward Boyd at Sky News. Just to follow up to Swati's question, the narrow path has been a bit of an experiment. If it does turn out to be a success, do you think it could become a blueprint or a new strategy for other central bankers around the world to follow in the future?
Every central bank has a focus on inflation, but they all have slightly different mandates. We have a dual mandate. We have employment, as does the Fed. Other countries don't necessarily have that. So it depends. It's not necessarily a strategy for all central banks. Central banks will decide based on their own legislative mandates how the best way to achieve their mandate is. And it's not the same for everyone.
Cécile Lefort from the Financial Review. Governor.
Cécile.
A policy, you say, is restrictive, but some economic indicators like housing lending suggest policy is not restrictive. So how tight do you think policy is, and what level do you estimate the policy not restrictive?
So I wouldn't like to hazard a guess as to what specific interest rate we would think is, you might be referring to the neutral rate. It's a very uncertain concept. Housing credit is probably a bit more restricted than you think it is, because it's in nominal terms. And if you look at housing credit, I'm pretty sure we had something on this in the statement. Housing credit as a share of nominal household disposable income isn't actually growing very much at all. So remember that it's a nominal concept, and it's relative to household disposable income, which is more important. So, but having said that, there are some things that on the business side, if you look at our dashboard of all the things we look at in terms of financial conditions, on businesses they seem to be a little bit better. Risk premium's quite low, the equity market's high. On the household side though, we know, and this goes back to an earlier question, that households are paying record historical amounts on their mortgages in terms of payments, required repayments, as a share of their income. So it is still binding and very tight on the household sector. And this has been one factor, not the only factor, but it's been one factor that's been important in the response of consumption. We haven't had growth in real incomes, real household disposable incomes, and that's been a product of a number of factors, including interest rates. So we know it's restrictive on the household side, less restrictive on the business side. We still would think that overall conditions are restrictive.
G'day, Governor. Jacob Steinman from the Australian Associated Press. What conditions would trigger the board to raise interest rates again?
Well, if inflation reversed course and we started to see the signs that we were seeing easing inflation start to move in the other direction. I mean, that is ultimately what we are aiming at. Now, what we've observed from overseas, and we've observed it a bit here as well, is it can be bumpy. It is not a smooth ride. And so we're going to be getting some more information on inflation in the next few months. It'll include some monthly indicators, which can be very volatile. It will include some quarterly numbers. What we'll be looking for is continued disinflation in those. If that starts to reverse course in a trend sense, and we start to see some of the easing in prices we've observed start going back up again, then that is going to be something the board would seriously need to consider.
He stole my question. I was going to ask that because Warren Hogan has been one of the people that's been very critical, saying you'll lose credibility if you do cut today. Mm. So with that in mind and just on the back, what other factors, particularly from offshore with these tariff threats as well, could force your hand to re-raise rates?
So the tariff threats and what's going on overseas, it's very uncertain, and probably even worse, it's unpredictable. So we don't know exactly what's going to happen, so we can't sort of make specific plans. What we probably can say is that in a particularly bad case, it would be bad for economic activity around the world and possibly China, and that wouldn't be good for us. What it means for inflation is slightly different, because it could mean higher inflation in some countries due to tariffs. So it very much depends on how it plays out in terms of, well, what actually gets implemented and then how people respond to those things. But I think we are thinking about it in the longer term. We're trying to not focus on the noise. We're trying to think, well, what sort of things might impact activity and impact us, and what might the impacts be on inflation? So that's sort of the things we're thinking about, but we really don't know yet. It's still a movable feast.
Governor David Taylor, ABC. A lot of this stuff goes over people's heads, and there are a lot of people listening and watching right now that just, you know, they'd be very pleased that they just got a rate cut and all four banks have moved. But I get the sense that millions of mortgage borrowers, because you're the public face of this, right, and they want hope from you. Mm. And you can't give forward guidance, but outside of forward guidance, in really plain speak, can you give millions of households some hope now, the households that are really struggling to make ends meet, in terms of their mortgage repayments?
I can't tell them what will happen, but the point is we have made one cut, and at the margin, I understand that will be helpful for some people. But I want to come back to the point I was emphasising earlier. And we focus a lot on mortgage holders, and yes, they are hurting because interest